Commissioner Barry Swanson is in our studio. He's the divisional commander of the Salvation Army's Metropolitan Division and an old Peoria acquaintance of mine. Barry, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. Good to see you again.
Yeah, refresh my memory. Was it last in Peoria that you and I laid eyes on each other?
It would have been, yep, back in the early 90s.
You know how I fell in love with the Salvation Army, fell into acquaintanceship of the Salvation Army, was I would drive by Northwoods Mall on War Memorial Drive. They had a giant Christmas tree, and they were lighting it up, or they had a thermometer on the side, and it was in association with how close to their goal they were getting. Every morning I'd go by, and I'd see how high up the thermometer was going, and they get to 100%. I talked about that on the radio, and then we started talking with you folks on the air, and the next thing you know, every year we would do a joke book at the radio station I worked at and turn the proceeds from that over to the Salvation Army. And whenever I personally gave or generated money on a radio station for you guys, I always felt like it was doing the most good. That if ever there was a good return on the dollar, if ever with confidence you could give to somebody and know they would do right by that, it was the Salvation Army. I trust you all are still doing well. Huh?
We really are. This is an exciting time to be serving people, and there's a lot of need out there, so our work never goes away.
Yeah, what is that? What would you say is, because I think people think of you at Christmas time for presents and coats, what's the main thing the Salvation Army even does?
Well, we have evolved over the years to have a special conscience, I think, for serving the poor wherever we happen to be, whatever community, whatever state, whatever area, and, you know, literally around the world. But speaking for here in Chicago, we've really got our antenna up to try to serve the needs of those who are homeless, those who are hungry, and those who have are just living on the margins.
So food and shelter are probably primary, huh?
Yeah, that's a big deal. We do our homeless feeding outreach, and then we have our sheltering program that we're involved in big time.
I was talking to one of your colleagues last week or 2 weeks ago, and we talked a little bit about the Prisoner Reform Project, the Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Project, the Community Center. But it's even more basic than that. It really is sometimes about just making sure somebody who's missed a paycheck now has food.
Right.
I mean, I suppose sometimes people who are otherwise employed knock on your door and say, I'm embarrassed, I need groceries.
Absolutely. And, you know, we conduct our business in such a way that people can do that without embarrassment or without shame. And we just hold everybody in very high dignity, and we do the best we can to really make sure that their needs are met, especially this time of the year. Sometimes it is a life and death situation, and we can come alongside and really serve people in that way.
And they have these mobile canteens too, right?
Right.
Can you just talk a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, the mobile canteen program is connected with our emergency disaster services effort. And so they are stationed strategically around the metropolitan area, and they are on call to serve at all kinds of events, disaster-type events where people are in need, or we can serve first responders. But also we use them to oftentimes provide food and necessities during severe weather crisis and other types of situations that arise.
What got you into the Salvation Army?
Well, you could say I was born into it. I'm a product of the South Side of Chicago, and my parents were members of the Salvation Army Church on the far South Side. So I grew up as a young boy going to church at the Salvation Army, and as I grew up and as I went to college, I realized that I really wanted to do something with my life other than earn my own living. I wanted to do something that I felt God was calling me to do, and that natural door for service for me was to be a Salvation Army officer.
So then what would that mean you'd do then?
Well, after I went to the training college, which is right here on the north side near Wrigley Field, and a two-year training program, I was commissioned as an officer and ordained as a minister in the Salvation Army, and then my wife and I spent the next 16 years going to various Salvation Army local churches, congregations around the Midwest, and we were busy preaching the gospel and meeting human needs in Jesus' name.
Kind of like in the military, too. I was an Air Force brat, and every few years we had to move. Was that your childhood, too, or your young adulthood?
Well, that certainly is the experience of our family, yes. We moved around pretty regularly, and our kids grew up with that experience and had the benefit of having a lot of great friends around the country.
What's a real rewarding experience for you in your capacity now or in the past?
Well, now I'm serving as the divisional commander for a metropolitan division here in Chicago. And as I come back to the city in which I was born and I grew up, I really feel greatly blessed and privileged to be able to look at the Salvation Army, not from the standpoint of who we have been, but who we are now and who we can become, to really keep in front of the need of human beings in our communities, and really look for progressive ways to continue to serve and do a great job of that.
Yeah, I so wonder if somebody like you misses the sort of day-to-day human interaction. You're probably now in more board meetings and budget meetings and things than you'd want to be. Maybe you'd rather be out on the street or at the shelter or at the community center, you know?
Well, I find plenty of time to do that, but I have to make a conscious effort for that. I think that the heart of every Salvation Army officer that I've ever known or ever met has always been to be there with people and in their deepest needs, and be able to just help them in the most practical ways possible.
And maybe we're all guilty of taking the Salvation Army for granted. We say, well, if there's a fire, they're miraculously there. Or if it's midnight and I don't know that it's midnight, but if it's in the evening and you drive through some neighborhoods, you might actually see the Salvation Army serving food to people. Those are genuine expenses, gas, food, personnel. I mean, it doesn't just happen. You have to write checks and bills have to be paid. What's the budget for your division?
Well, the budget for the division is right around $40 million, and it's a big budget, a lot of money to raise, and a lot of that will, about 60%, at least 60% of that will come in during November and December through the Christmas effort, both the kettles, the mail appeal, and the online giving, whatever options are available to people. But this is really the time when we have to make our budget for 12 months of services.
It's got to be maddening, right? $40 million of philanthropy all year long, and by golly, you'd better hit it in about 5 weeks, right?
It puts some pressure on.
And, you know, shame on all of us for not remembering that. But if this works, then okay, we'll do it that way. So what's the campaign goal for this year then?
At Christmas this year, we want to raise $30 million, and $3 million of that hopefully will come in through the Red Kettle Drive.
Red Kettle Drive. Does that include the actual kettles and the virtual kettles like mine?
Yeah, that's the online stuff as well as the money in the bucket.
Okay, I think my goal is $30,000 of the $30 million. So what's that, 1%? $30 million, 10% would be $3 million, 1% would be $300,000. So I'm a tenth of a percent, $30,000. That doesn't sound like a lot. $30,000.
Sounds like a lot to me.
it's daunting to me, and imagine what it is for you. If you go to the WGN radio page on the John, it says shows right on the top. Click on the shows and I'll appear. Click on me and you'll see a way to donate. Last time, folks did make a donation after one of your colleagues were here. So hopefully you can do that right now. Is this a good time to go to WGNradio.com? Click on the John Williams page and there you can make a donation of $25. Or I still think it'd be swell if just somebody went, you know what? I'm going to cover the nut right now and made a $30,000 donation.
That would be amazing.
Do people still put gold coins in the kettles?
They sure do. Every year, it seems like somebody somewhere has that lying around, and they decide I want to do something good with it, and they throw it in one of our buckets. And it's always it's a big surprise and a big shout out when that happens in some kettle somewhere.
What else can I do for you right now, Barry Swanson, Divisional Commander, Salvation Army, Metropolitan Division? Let's get those kettles going. What else can I do to help?
Well, you're doing it right now by just reminding people that the Salvation Army is here, and we're out there to serve people every day. We do it, I think, quite quietly, and we really put our efforts in the quality of our service, and we just want to be known as those people who have been around for a long time, over 135 years in Chicago, and we're going to stick around for a while.
One of our major sponsors just called in, and he wants to say something to you. I don't think I want to put him on, but I will. Barry Swanson is here. He's the Divisional Commander of the Salvation Army Metropolitan Division. You'll hear some of our friends from the Army between now and Christmas as we help them make their annual goal. And I have a virtual kettle at WGNradio.com. It's on the John Williams page. And Barry, what did I say my goal was?
$30,000.
One of our annoying sponsors is David Hochberg. I mean, sponsors. What did I say? David, are you there?
You said annoying. You said annoying, which is pretty good description. My only comment is this, John. Last year we started out, when I came in, you're like, we want to raise 15, and I'm like, for love of God, that's way too low.
Yeah.
And we hit 30, and now you're starting out at 30, which is way too low.
Yeah.
And we got to go to at least 50. So that I'm no, gonna
no, no. Go. I'll let you finish, Dave. Go ahead and finish that thought.
No, I think we need to set the bar a little higher because it's been a good year. The economy's good. People are very caring. WGN listeners are very, very giving. And I think we're setting the bar too low at 30. And you know I'm going to be in there to help you get the money out of your listeners. And I think I get an extra 20 G's out of them when I'm in there, you know, helping you raise some funds.
Yeah. I thought that $30,000 last year was a miracle, and I didn't know that it would be wise to ask for it twice. Producer Elif just whispered in my ear and said, well, we did raise it to $35,000, but nobody in their right mind, and that would be you, David, would say $50,000. That is not my stated goal this year.
That's mine. So that's why we're going to be at 50, Commander. Don't worry about it. We'll get you the 50 grand, and I'm going to be in there to help Johnny raise the money. That's it. I got to go find a parking ticket. So I wish everybody a happy holidays, and I can't wait to get some money for the Salvation Army with you when I'm on the air with you, John.
God Talk bless you, later, sir. Bud. See you, David. Thank you. There he goes. That's that guy I was telling you about. You see what I'm talking about now?
I sure do. I like that optimism.
He's unrelenting, but he's also got his heart in the right place. So the Wednesday or Thursday before Christmas, we're going to do a special blowout for you guys and see how much money we can't get in the kettle. And Lou Manfredini's going to help us out, and David Hochberg, too. And you can make a donation right now. Just go to WGNradio.com, click on the John Williams page, and I'm right there. Well, Merry Christmas in advance, sir. It's not too late to make a donation. I'm telling people, go to WGNradio.com, John Williams page. You can make a donation right there. I also saw, by the way, that some of the kettles will, what is it, take credit cards, or you can use your phone and tap them? Is that right?
Yep, that's right. We've got some technology going, and many of our kettle locations, we're trying to roll it out to all of them eventually, but we're starting to do it. And if you've got a smartphone, Apple or Android, of a late edition model, you can just tap the tag that's there, and the screen will come up, and you can make a donation of your choice. And it'll go right on your record, and it'll go right into our bank account.
Now, not all the kettles are that equipped, eh?
Not all at this point, but eventually we hope to see it go that way. And we're recognizing that the economy demands that we become more digitally savvy in how we do this.
Yeah, no kidding. Some stores don't even want your cash. I've always recommended that people, as you go out in the city or suburbs at Christmas time, maybe it's not your habit to have some few loose bills or a pocket of change, but you know you're going to find one of those kettles. So just make it your habit of having that loose money handy. And if you're lucky enough to fall upon one of these digital kettles, kettles that will take your money.
That's correct, yep.
Then by all means, you can make the donation that way too. Okay, Barry, thanks for coming into our studio. It's nice to see you.
Thank you, John. Great to see you again.